I didn't even mention, like, I guess everyone that's listening to this already knows what you, Little Sam, have achieved in the last few weeks. So we don't really need to harp on that too much. But we do have some questions. First off, how does it feel being compared to a young Cam Myers?
With each setting sun, the whispers grew. Not of ancient kings or dragons of old, but of a different kind of power, a power yet to be unleashed. They spoke of a boy born down under, named Sam Ruth. From his earliest breaths, he was not merely a child, but a vessel forged by unseen hands for a singular purpose, to challenge the reign of Cameron, the Aussie prince, and shatter the global records etched in stone. The prophecy foretold his coming, a storm on the horizon, destined to sweep away the old order and usher in a new dawn of dominance. But will the boy, burdened by the weight of a preordained future, truly be able to outrun destiny itself? Find out on The Coffee Club Podcast.
Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Cup Podcast for episode 218. Today, us boys are in the studio, but we're joined by some very, very special guests today. We got on Sam Squared, our favorite two Sams in the world, Sam Tanner and Sam Ruth. Boys, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having us on.
Yeah. Welcome to the pod. Just first of all, how sick of interviews are you? We apologize for being another one.
Yeah, pretty sick of that.
Hopefully you end on a high note today.
This will be your favorite one, though. We'll guarantee it.
Yeah.
I've started getting the secondhand interviews, and they don't get to talk to him, and then they don't get to talk to Ben, and so they come to me, and I'm like, oh, hoping they're going to talk about me, but they just talk
what,
about
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, what do they refer to you as? Are you just like Sam Ruth's training partner now?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
The other Sam?
Or old Sam? I'm like, oof.
Oh, brutal. We don't want that.
That's a brutal, tough one.
What do you guys go by, like, when you're at training and stuff? Because there's too many Sams. How do you guys differentiate between each other? Or how do other people differentiate between
each other? There's another Sam, too, right?
There's four Sams.
So what do you call each other?
Yeah.
He calls me Tanner. I call him Sam or Sammy. But then Craig calls
Little Sam and I'm Big Sam.
No. No, that when Little that. Sam and Big Sam get involved, I call him Little Sam and everybody else calls him Little Sam, except for he calls himself Big Sam.
That sounds about right.
But now that he's run faster than a mile, he probably can call himself Big Sam.
That changes everything.
I think you have to keep calling him Little Sam, though. Just to like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, you gotta keep him humble.
Especially because he's taller than me too, so it's...
That's not saying a lot, yeah, though.
No. Craig's shorter than me though, so that's still a win. The short jokes aren't being delivered to me anymore since CK's just arrived.
Fair enough.
But that's worked out well.
So you guys have been in America now for, this must be about 3-ish weeks. What are the highlights of the trip so far? Both, we know we've seen you on the track out there. Sam Ruth making a couple of highlights, but off the track, how's the America trip been treating you guys so far? It looks like you guys have been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good. Winston-Salem was snowy as, which is basically my first time in snow, so it was cool to be in the snow with Tanner.
Yeah, it's been a really fun trip because most of the time I'm solo or just like tagging along with you guys or with Puma or whoever. And so it's kind of cool to be able to join in with Sammy for a whole kind of circuit. Got the big daddies back with pizza. thanks, Liz. But yeah, it's been cool, really cool, and great to be running, even though I haven't been running that much, unfortunately.
Yeah, we wanted to check in with you. Obviously, there's going to be so many questions today, but we saw you line up in the first race at Boston, and unfortunately, you had to pull out pretty early in because I believe it was some Achilles stuff. But how are you doing? Is it going all right, or are you just having to manage it for now?
Yeah, well, just managing it really as much as I can. I've had some pretty good treatment in North Carolina, and I never seem too worried about it. because it's kind of like mid portion, which is different to what's been plaguing me the last couple of years. But treatment's been good and it always seems to be all right, but it doesn't quite disappear fully. So we'll just finish out this little indoor tour and then go home and get some scans and stuff and make sure it's good and then get it back on top of it.
Fair enough. And when you go back, you just heading back to New Zealand because something that is very big that has happened in your life, you're donning some new colors, a new kit, something that's quite familiar to us. You've just recently joined the OC Oceania, which when I heard that news, my first reaction was, there's no way, just because I can't imagine you not living in Tannerland. But I mean, it's amazing. Congratulations, first of all. So exciting. And it's going to be so cool to go out to Melbourne and be part of that amazing squad. But yeah, is that happening very, very shortly? You moving to Melbourne, or is it going to be a bit of a transition period? What's the plan?
Yeah, nah, thanks, bro. Definitely a bit of a transition period. I'm just in comms with CK and Mottram about what the rest of the season looks like. CK's working with me at the moment. And then after the indoor season, there'll be a transition period to Mottram and the kind of coaching situation over there. Obviously, we've done everything we can to make it as smooth as possible. And CK's been amazing. And it's been great hanging out with this guy and Ben as well, making the transition on paper be really good. But yeah, I think after the probably this race, we'll probably decide when I visit and kind of check out Melbourne and kind of suss where I want to live and all that sort of stuff. But I think Mottram at this stage has said October, November is when I'll officially move over.
Well, end of the season.
Yeah, because I'll probably do maybe a training camp or something over there in the meantime. But then obviously I'll just join up with whatever they end up doing in Europe for the whole Europe stint and then come back home and then gather my stuff. And we've got some renos on the house and things to finish. Tannerland's got a
real life stuff, adult stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. They do spend, I guess, most of the Northern Hemisphere summer not in Melbourne. So by the time you join up, it'll be almost that situation.
Yeah.
Training with Stewie. Excited for that. That sounds like that'd be cool. A blast.
Yeah. I know. I had Haydo for a while and Jules, I guess, smashing me in the threshold, but Stewie's going to be another level of pain, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which would be cool.
And at least the transition from one Craig to another Craig, at least that part's quite easy.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
Are they like the only two coaches you've ever had? Is CK the only coach?
What about Andy Powell, man?
Oh, shit. Forgot about that. That's on me. That's on me.
People forget that Sam Tanner went to UW. He visited Wisconsin. Did you know that?
Wow.
We took him out to a nice, I think it was a steakhouse, no?
What did they do wrong? Or it was the cold, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cold. It was with Ollie. Ollie was hitting on my mum.
Oh, classic. That happened a couple of times.
I actually wasn't hitting on Tanner's mum. It was mostly the coaches. I was just trying to fend them off.
So multiple people were hitting on Tanner's mum.
Well, pretty much people that were sensibly of age or maybe a little bit older than they should be were hitting on Sam's mum. So most of the time, I think I was pretty devastated after that trip. I never did a recruiting trip again.
Because
she didn't commit to Wisconsin. Well, she wasn't committing to Wisconsin. She was just looking after Tanner. But after after my miserable one and done recruiting trip, I was banned. So,
yeah.
To be fair, you guys actually did the best recruiting out of like the two.
That's all we have to do with the weather.
Out of the two, I thought it was going to be more than two.
Yeah.
We were 50%.
But nonetheless, we'll take it.
I actually started saying that and then I'm like, oh, that's going to fail. I've only visited two schools.
Fair.
That's still a win.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take those accolades. Little Sam, sorry, is that okay? I think we got to call you Little Sam for the purpose of this interview.
Me?
Yeah. That's exactly how I expected you to react to that. Are you like even thinking about the possibility of going to the NCAA? Or you still have two more years of school. But I guess if you were in America, that is a time when you would start kind of thinking about it. Is that even a possibility for you or not really?
I mean, it's still like two and a half years until I actually leave. So it's still quite a while until I'll be able to actually go and compete there. So I haven't made my mind up fully yet, but My mind's still open. I went and visited Wake Forest University while we were in Winston-Salem, which is quite cool. yeah. So I'm definitely still up for the option, I guess, just leaving that door open. So we'll see how it goes there.
Leave that door open so a shit ton of cash can go straight
through. I was going to say, maybe by then you might have an Olympic medal. Who knows? Then I mean, NIL deals will
be. If they can throw you a massive NIL, I would say do it. That is that year, right? It'll be like your freshman year would be after the LA Olympics.
Yeah. So if he won the Olympic Games, then he could be like, all right, my NIL should be like $4 million.
You could retire and then go to college on a scholarship, probably.
Yeah. And then just party for 4 years.
Get the real college experience.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, that's classic.
Are you missing school right now? Are you?
Yes.
Is Tanner teaching you?
School started 2 weeks ago. I didn't bring my computer or anything, so I'm basically just focusing on running.
Really smart.
I gave him a physics lesson on the Doppler effect while we're walking to get some lollies for Ben's birthday.
I was going to say, it's a New Zealand education, so that's you're not missing much.
That's very responsible of you, Big Sam.
Oh, I love that. Did you get in trouble, or is it, I guess, like, I don't even know how that works. I don't know how what the protocol is for prodigies, for young phenoms.
What do you tell them? Sorry, I was missed 2 weeks. I was busy breaking the New Zealand record in the mile. Hope that's all good. What does that look like?
I don't even really know. I basically, my parents signed me out or something. I don't really know how the system works, but the principal understands it, I'm pretty sure. So I just turn up and he's happy. Like, we're talking about whether I can drop first period every day, which will probably make school even harder, but just so I can focus even more on my running.
Yeah, you should definitely try
imagine
to do that.
Being yeah, 12, that's actually. You know, you're going to school for 5 periods instead of 6.
Well, you may as well, at that point, may as well drop last period too, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just cut it off at both ends so you can really double down.
You'll be taking like 5 years to do your next 2 years of school, but it'll be worth it. Lots of school. Why not? That's so good. It's just crazy. Like, I mean, we haven't even mentioned, like, I guess everyone that's listening to this already knows what you, Little Sam, have achieved in the last few weeks. So we don't really need to harp on that too much. But we do have some questions. First off, how does it feel being compared to a young Cam Myers?
Am I compared?
He's like, I'm better than Cam Myers.
I mean, it's all right because he's gone and done it before me. So I feel like he's like showing me the pathway, I guess. So
that was a bit of a joke question because we had Cam Myers on the show and we asked him, how does it feel being compared to a young Jakob Ingebrigtsen? And that question made slightly more sense because at least there was maybe how many years in between them? Like a good 3-4 more, I guess. Mm. But for you, it just doesn't really make sense because you're just achieving things way too fast for people to keep up with. So I don't even know. Like, I guess you've really just superseded everything that has come before you. I mean, you're literally the fastest 16-year-old of all time. And for us, it's just hard to comprehend because you're also simultaneously so chill, so humble, so... Like, you do things really easily. I think it's easier for people to understand someone like Jakob because he's like, okay, well, this guy was trained since he was 12 years old to be a running robot. Cam Myers, he's kind of a bit more in between, but you're fully like on almost the other end of the spectrum. Clearly, you have amazing mentors around you and great people that are helping you, but really, it's not like you're doing anything crazy that someone can point to and say, oh, well, he only ran 3:40. Hey, because he's like running 200 miles a week. What does like a normal kind of week of training actually look like for you at 16 years old?
It's quite hard. I could find one on my Strava and just go through the full week if you want.
Whatever's easiest for you. Do you two do the same training or is it pretty different?
I mean, we do basically the same 2 sessions a week. I do 3 and Tanner does 2 because your arch legs or something like that and you just do a bit more.
That's sensible.
You're old and sensible now.
I find one from New Zealand.
Well, yeah, I do. Sometimes I do 3 and I'll do like a third one on the lever. But I'll just skip the Thursday session because I can't go 100% max every workout.
All right. So this is just a random week. So I start with a 9-kilometer run on Monday. And then Tuesday, I do a bit more of a volume session, adding up to 12K in total. I always do 3K warm up, 2K warm down. So you can do the math of like what the actual volume is. On Wednesday, I did a 12K run. And then Thursday, I'm back at the track. I only did 8.7K, so must have been doing some 200s that week. And then...
there's a warm-up or something. Oh, there was Hastings.
Yeah, and then, oh no, this is a race week. But this is basically what it normally is. And then Friday will just be like 5-6 kilometers. And then Saturday will be more of like a tempo threshold session.
Maybe 7 a.m. like Saturday waterfront.
Totaling like 13, 14 kilometers. And then Sunday will be my long run, which is like 16 kilometers. That's probably what the average week looks like.
Almost 10 miles.
And what does that add up to a total? That's about like 80K, 90K?
Yeah, probably averaging around 80s.
80s.
Obviously, that just means your training ceiling is like so far away. Does that make you impatient to like train more, or are you happy chilling?
I don't know.
It's obviously working, so I'm not suggesting either way.
Craig's in the corner nodding. Yes.
To which
bit? I'd love to do more, but at the moment I just view it as like I'm able to absorb all the training so well just because my volume's so low. So like through 800 meters, if I focus on speed, I can just absorb it way more than if I was doing way more higher miles. So I guess that's how I'm looking at it at the moment.
It's literally the opposite philosophy of, I'm sure, Jakob at 16, who was just trying to
run. Yeah, but he'd already maximized what he could do at 90, 80 Ks a week about 7 years before that. So he'd already squeezed that lemon. Because I think it's really smart how you say it, because there's like a famous kind of little thing from, I think it's Jack Daniels, where his whole thing is that if you're not as highly trained, like you don't have to train as hard to get the same benefit as someone else. Like the better you are in terms of training, this isn't just pure like race performance, obviously the harder that you have to work to get your next 1% of gains. So if you're already improving by 10 seconds a year at 90 Ks a week, why would you do any more than that? Like that's a pretty good improvement rate, I would say. So it's going to be just the fact that you're in the spotlight at this young age, and that we live in a day where like information is so shared. You're going to be an amazing case study for many years to come, just to see like how it plays out. Because I don't think we have seen someone training so.
Yeah. And that's what I want to know from, this is like a question I have for Big Sam. You were a very good high school runner in your own right. Like I remember, and I mean, obviously little Sam has moved the goalposts a wee bit, but you were running, I remember you went to like Brooks PR, ran 3:38 in high school, and all these times that were very fast. What is it about little Sam? Like what is different about this 16-year-old? Like in your, as someone who's been close to him the last few years, trains with him day to day, like what makes little Sam this different to your average 16-year-old runner?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a couple of things. He's got the perfect environment.
Like, he's got the perfect training partner. Literally.
The perfect training partner.
Yeah. No. It is a perfect environment because he has really good training partners, whether they are, you know, Vaughan Murray for a little while who's a mate of Sammy's. And then Sam's just seemed to like step up with the competition. So it was like a kid that was 1 year older than him, or the same age, who was beating him, and then he'd become as good as him, and then he'd set his sights on the next guy, and then become as good as him, and then set his sights on the next guy, and become as good as him. And he's just, over the last like 3 years, all of a sudden he's at my level.
He's the guy.
I'm like, what the heck? And so, yeah, now obviously traveling overseas and things, he's got the opportunity to race guys like Cole, and so that's the next sight. And yeah, it's... I guess the thing that makes him so good and so different is that he's not so different, but he just has amazing support and crazy, crazy, crazy competitiveness.
It's a good answer.
That is.
And just a lot of natural talent.
and freakish natural talent.
Is it annoying to train with for someone like you? Because I'm sure, I mean, you've been part of that squad for a long time, and I assume that no one was really able to train with you for a lot of the work that you were doing. How, what's it like for you to have this 16-year-old? Because I remember when I was 16, you can get away with doing some pretty dumb shit. So I can't imagine being 16 and then also being that talented in a training standpoint. What's that like?
Yeah, it's the first time ever in my life, actually, that I've actually come across someone who's significantly more talented than me. and I'm like, oh, man, I literally, my mum was giving me a massage. She's a massage therapist now. And I was like, Mum, how do I be more competitive? Because he's so good. I have to stay beating him. And then he beat me in the 800 like 2 weeks later. I was like, dang it. but it's just good, really good for the training environment. And it's cool to have someone who pushes me in every workout too. Like there's no, from even before he was good, having him up and coming has made me go, man, I got to turn up to this workout ready. Because Sammy's going to, I know that Sammy's going to be feeling fresh. Like, without a doubt, he'll be fresh. And so,
that part's guaranteed.
If he decides to like throw down a 230 last K and the 4x1K that he's doing threshold, I'm like, I got to do my fourth K at 230 on the road.
Yeah,
but then, you know, so there's been a couple of days like that where I'm just going balls to the wall in there. Or in the last 200 meters, Sam goes, I feel good. I want to go hard here. And then I'm like, do I want to let my ego get involved here and then try to race him? And so it was.
Is the answer normally yes?
Yeah, 100% yes. especially when, you know, I've got a reduced session too, and we're like, oh, I'm gonna get a little bit rolling here. But yeah, CK doesn't thrash us very, very much. So it's kind of nice to get moving every now and then.
I feel like that's most fun for me when I've got something like 4 1Ks and Tanner's got 6 and I can go as hard as I can. And like, this is when I hear when you're a lot better than me. I was like, how much can I make him work here? And then have to do 2 more.
That's evil.
That's cruel.
Punishing. It's punishing.
Yeah. And that
it was good.
In that case, for little Sam, same question. What have you, like, how important has it been to have big Sam the last few years? And what have you learned from Tanner before he departs your lovely little training group? Like, has that been important for the development?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Just having someone there, like just showing it's possible. And, you know, obviously when I was a lot younger, I looked up to Sam Tanner a lot more. I still look up to him a lot.
As you got to know him better, it's...
yeah, a little bit less.
Yeah.
Progressively less and less.
I guess the more I could run with an actual professional runner, it made me realize more and more that I could actually do this like when I'm older, and just running behind a professional runner, I feel like just made me so happy, and like the joy of it really pushed my running, I guess.
You know, the coolest thing is like over the last, I don't know, 8 weeks or 10 weeks, we've been doing the same workouts and everyone's like, oh, he's going to run a couple seconds slower than you. I'm like, why is he going to run a couple seconds slower than me? He's kicking my ass in workouts. Like, there's no reason why he can't run the same time as me. And when I knew I was in, you know, before we came over here, probably 3:48 shape, I was like, I'm going to run 3:50 or some 3:50 on a good day. There's no reason why Sammy can't do it. And even Ben is like, oh yeah, 3:50 would be like absolutely outstanding. And then Sammy just goes, nah, 3:48 would be good.
Why not? Well, you guys have talked a lot about how great the training environment is, but one thing that we've been able to witness from a distance is how cool it is that you guys have turned these, I don't know, I assume they're not the biggest meets in the world, these Saturday meets in New Zealand, into absolute spectacles. Is it become a bit of a thing down there when people know that the two of you are racing, that it's going to be kind of fireworks? Because we've seen, yeah, the battles in the, you've run an amazing 800. The mile that you ran before you came over was so good. I mean, it must be so fun to be able to go to your local, well, not necessarily your local track, but a track down New Zealand and be able to have such amazing races. And that's something that's, you know, hasn't happened there for a long time, right?
Yeah, they're pretty much all local tracks though. There's only like 10 of them.
Yeah.
True.
For those that don't know, New Zealand.
But the bar has been raised. I mean, you guys have taken it to a whole nother level. So that's cool. And I assume there must be a lot of growing fandom for track, both from those meets, but then also now we've heard that Little Sam has been getting some good coverage from the media down in New Zealand. Is that correct?
Yeah. Now the media has done a good job of advertising our racing, I guess. Sam v Sam. I mean, there's a lot of media around it and a lot of...
All the 16-year-old girls are loving it.
Do you have a girlfriend, Sam? Little Sam?
No, I don't.
Not yet? Okay. See what happens when you get back from the US? It's funny because I guess since you came over to the US, your profile has probably skyrocketed, no? So you've been shielded from
it. What was your Instagram followers on? He never posts. What was it on, like 12?
Mm-hmm. But before I came over?
15 or 12?
Probably like 20.
And now he's on like, what are you on, 50?
I've got no idea. 40?
It's been crazy. And literally nobody could have an understanding of how much media has come his way in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ben's been on the phone all day, every day. Literally, it's amazing.
You need a media, well, I guess you've got a media person running it for you, which is actually probably a very healthy thing to have.
But no, it's been really good. New Zealand have capitalized pretty hard, and Athletics New Zealand are capitalizing very hard on us two racing each other and probably profiting off us in some pretty major ways. But it's good for the sport,
these boys, so we're loving it.
Are you keeping a head-to-head tally? Surely you are.
Well, it depends if we count a DNF in the head-to-heads, because technically I'm 2-1.
And do we count the DNFs?
I feel like you kind of have to. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think you don't count a DNS, but you count a DNF.
3-2.
So that is. So do we have another one this weekend or not? Different races.
Different races.
I'm doing 3-2 okay. Tennis Day Mile.
So New Zealand Champs is the next one. What's the game plan?
Well, if you come over, then it'll be a good race.
It's still going to be a good race.
No, it'll be cool. What's the game plan?
I enjoyed last year's game plan, which is...
Yeah, you guys literally tied last year.
Tanner leaded it up, and then I come up and tie with him.
That was actually insane. I forgot about that.
I think Sarah Tanner, you're probably not going to be as... Because I've noticed that you're pretty friendly in terms of you don't mind pushing from the front. I feel like you're going to probably not be quite as friendly in terms of leading out the pace anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to pull out some more
it's
trickery
too
here.
Fit.
Whoever has the fastest PR has to lead.
We're racing the 1500. Does it count a mile? Or?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think it has to. Speaking of racing the mile, you guys were at JDL this past weekend, and Little Sam got to line up against arguably the best 1500-meter runner. Well, he's absolutely on fire right now, Cole Hocker. After coming off your amazing 3:48, were you feeling like some certain type of pressure about how you had to go and race it, or was your plan kind of just, all right, let's go behind Cole? You probably knew he was trying to run really fast and you just wanted to kind of see like how it would go.
Yeah, well, I knew the pace lights going 3:46 and I was like, this is an opportunity I can't really turn down. So unfortunately, on the start line, I went Cole, Cooper, me, and then two pacers. So I kind of just got sandwiched off the start line and couldn't really get behind Cole. And from there, it was a bit of a shambles. Like, I was going back and forth quite a bit, accelerating quite a bit, and I felt like that just took quite a big toll on me.
Yeah, I think when you're running that pace, it's like you got to – you're so young. It's like you're obviously going to – maybe make some mistakes in the races, but it's like you have very little amount of extra energy to use up. And obviously on that day, I think Cole had one of the greatest races ever. I mean, he broke the American record and was pretty damn close to the world record, which I don't know what you guys thought. I didn't expect him to run that fast. You know, like that's next. That was amazing to me.
It was an incredible run. Yeah. No, deserves a lot of credit for making that happen. And it looked like good experience for a learning experience for Little Sam, because he was right. We were watching and he was just could not get on the rail. these guys were just bullying him out of it and not letting him in, which I guess after lots of New Zealand races when it's just you two, that's not normally an issue. So,
yeah, some things you can't learn in New Zealand, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you come do this trip and put those things into practice.
Yeah, great learning experiences.
What other races do you have planned on this trip? You mentioned a 3K in Boston for both of you. What's the rest of the trip look like?
Just this weekend, last chance.
Yeah, we leave on, what, Monday?
Yeah, go back to New Zealand Monday.
You ready to get back to the mount?
Last chance mile and then last chance 3K.
Amazing. I'm sure it's going to be very, very fast with a lot of college kids going for it. What are our goals for these races? Just to go and mix it up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably like to run quite fast, but I really don't know where I'm at with the 3K because it's hard to tell how much fitness I'm at. My coach probably thinks I'm in maybe sub 740 shape if I have an all right race, which I'll be pretty happy with.
I think
at 16.
Yeah. Did you mention, does Cam have the under 18 like world record or no? Am I completely making that up? Who has the under 18 world record?
I don't
have no idea.
So we don't even know what that is.
Probably.
Computer.
What do you think he could have?
Indoor?
Yeah. I doubt he even did one indoors when he was there.
Yeah, he wouldn't have.
I remember he ran like
Kajoucher and 742.
Under 18.
And as an under 18. Yep.
Indoors.
It's been around for a while. That sounds doable.
Yeah, it actually does.
No pressure. No pressure.
Boston's a good place to do that one.
Cam
752. Cam 352. 752.
352.
Yeah, 16.
I think
he did that
from Cam.
Yeah, Maury Plant or somewhere.
He did that at maybe Sydney. I think at the national 3K champs or something like that. Either way,
he's going to run faster than that. We were talking today, what would a good race, bad race, and horrible and excellent races look like? And we reckon like anything for you, what pretty much sub 735 would be excellent.
Yeah.
And then 8 flat would be a terrible race.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think would be really good? Speaking of good learning experiences, would be going to.
Jordy, what's your PB?
Do you have the New Zealand record?
Yeah, don't worry about that. You don't need to get that. You can worry about that later on.
What is the New Zealand 3K record?
7:34.
Outdoors, including? Is that just indoors?
Both,
okay.
At least in New Zealand, they just say
good to know,
both.
Good to know.
Yeah. It is indoors.
7:36.
Nah, he's run 7:34 indoors, haven't you?
That's because Dawson won't give me the record. Actually, maybe I just need to apply for it or something. Anyway. A good learning experience, really good way to learn how to race indoors. World indoors. Little Sam, why is CK not letting you do that?
I got to go to school.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be the answer.
That's not we know you don't care about school right now. That's not a good answer.
I feel like just going over to Poland and racing that would just make it such a long season. And I don't know if I can really be bothered.
It's pretty far from New Zealand, Poland.
It is so quite far.
It's a long trip. And also, you kind of got to go over a bit before for Europe, quite a bit before for Europe, to be honest, because of the crazy time zones and the travel and all that. So, yeah.
I mean, we turned up in Boston 72 hours before we ran 3:48.
Which I cannot believe.
That's a good point.
That's impressive. Yeah. We were running at Harvard this morning doing some 200s, and I remember 3 weeks ago where you said you felt like crap before the 3:48. Obviously, that doesn't matter.
Did not matter at all. But speaking about kind of the race season, because it is funny because you do have to be very intentional and tactical with how you plan out your season because you do have school, especially when the rest of the world has summer. You know, it's not like that's not during a big break or anything for us, unfortunately. So you would be missing a lot of school to go and do, these major championships. Has anything changed at all? I heard your dad's interview after Boston where he talked about that World Juniors would potentially be one that you were looking at going to, even though you can go again in 2 years. Do you have any thoughts on what you're going to be doing this summer, like Comm Games perhaps?
Yeah, so basically that's another reason why I didn't go to World Indoors is just because, you know, I need to start my base, I guess, and start building up towards the key races like World Juniors. I think the plan at the moment is probably to go over, have a race before Prefontaine, race Prefontaine, and then go over to, if I qualify for Comm Games, I'll go race Comm Games, and then that's kind of the same, within the same week's World Juniors, so then I'll come back and then race World Juniors.
Wow. Is that in Eugene?
Yeah.
Mm. Comm Games is before.
Yeah. About a week before.
Oh, that's a good little trip. That's a good way around. It'd be annoying if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was really big news in Australia. Did you see, Ollie, that I think Yout Gout announced that he's not doing Comm Games because he wants to do World Juniors instead?
Yeah, I saw that. That makes no sense.
Hey, he said he wants to follow in Usain Bolt's footsteps.
What, not go Comm Games?
Did Usain Bolt?
No. He wants to win the 200 World Juniors. Yeah. Maybe Usain Bolt did literally choose not to go to the Comm Games.
So I think it's more of a financial thing, but from what I know, really? They just, like, I think also they just, there's speculation that Comm Games is not going to exist after Glasgow. So,
am I the stupid one here for reading the newspaper and reading he wants to follow Usain Bolt's footsteps and going, oh, that makes sense?
I mean,
that could be
a factor for sure. I mean, that could be like one of the main factors, but there are other things that I think I've heard around the grapevine. Yeah. I feel like Usain Bolt is not remembered for winning World Juniors.
No, he's 200 meters when he was a junior is iconic.
Yeah, but he was remembered for eating chicken nuggets in China.
I
have seen that video. But so, I just feel like he won some bigger races later on and they seemed more important.
He's following in the footsteps. You got to take the first step, you know? You got to win World Juniors.
Has he ever actually raced a senior race?
No, he ran a junior race in Monaco and got beaten, so. No.
Yeah. He was in Tokyo.
Oh, Amore Barnhart, he raced.
Yeah, Australia. He did all the senior races.
Oh, he did
the
Australian senior races, yeah. I thought Goat Global. He might have run Worlds.
He did.
Yeah.
He ran Worlds.
Surely
yeah.
he did.
But I don't think, I was thinking Diamond Leagues, he hasn't run a senior race because in Monaco he ran the junior race.
There's a junior race in Monaco?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He didn't do anything else before Worlds?
Oh, wait, he might have won that race. I think he might have won that race in Monaco. I don't think so.
Because he had those big head-to-heads with Lachlan Kennedy.
Well, Lachlan Kennedy was beating him. Lachlan Kennedy was running really well. And then his back gave out. But,
Comm Games. If it's the last one, we could have three sub 350 New Zealanders in the Comm Games mile, which would be sick. That'd be a good way to go out if it's really going to be the last one.
Are you announcing that you're going to do the mile?
He's doing the mile. He's doing the mile. Mile steeple.
No, I said could.
He's doing the mile steeple double.
That is what's happening.
That is what's happening.
That'll be historic. That'll be like golden hour all over again. They call it golden hour. The golden shower.
Is that what you're talking about?
We have a 16-year-old on the show. You can't make those jokes.
He doesn't know what that means.
We're gonna have to cut the whole podcast.
What are you referring to, Big Sam?
The London thing.
No,
right?
There's the 1964 Olympics.
I think
Halberg and Snell.
Oh, was that in Tokyo?
Halberg Snell double.
Where?
Double medal.
Tokyo.
Yeah,
it was Tokyo. Mm.
Yep. Been all downhill since then for New Zealand, huh?
Yeah, Nick Willis has not done anything good for that country in running.
Did Nick Willis reach out to you or anyone else, like older high-profile athletes or anything like that?
Johnny Walker.
Did George Beamish reach out to you?
Johnny Walker.
Yeah, George Beamish reached out to me at JDL.
He literally touched you. He reached out with his hand.
And said, move, this is my track.
Is it don't take my 3K record?
Yeah.
Oh, good fun. Good fun.
No, I'm actually excited that I have someone that can. I haven't, any record I've broken is still alive. So it's nice that it will be challenged.
Yeah, Tana, you weren't going to challenge them, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I was trying to work out like exactly what you were trying to say here.
Where are you going with this, Jordan?
You weren't, Tyler, you weren't taken seriously by George. So.
I don't have the ones that Tanner's attempting to get.
I, I spent too much time at Tanland to be your day.
I said no such thing. No, the ones you've been trying to get, I don't have in the first place. So
that is fair. That is true. You're so freaking close, though.
Was. Both of us were. And now it's 3:48, yeah. So now we're fucked.
Yeah.
You guys can't be that diminishing if it's 1 second. Come on. He's still got a few more years before he runs fucking 3:39.
So. And you got one more year at this rate.
Yeah, if he runs 10 seconds every year, so he's running 3:38 next year. You got 1 year. Yeah. 1 year to run under 3:48.
I got one race.
Yeah, and then he's running and then he's running 3:38.
Everything is gonna this weekend, Sam, Big Sam, is your last shot.
Your career's on the line.
And then the record is sub 3:40. Yeah.
And then sub 3:40 after that. You're gonna have to work pretty hard for that.
I love it. Lots of fun today. We do have a bunch of good Instagram and Discord questions.
Let's get into some of those.
Oh, you want
to? Can we start with
crack?
Can we start with the egg one? Is that on there?
The egg one is not on there.
I'll put that on there.
Explain the egg one, please.
Well, we got some nice Discord and Instagram questions that not only from the coach of the Sams, but I heard he dropped one in there. But also, there's something floating around that says Little Sam eats 10 eggs a day. Can we just cover this topic really quick?
Big if true.
Yeah. So I actually don't eat 10. I eat 11. So I've slightly upped it a bit. I start off with 4. Nah, I don't eat 10 eggs a day.
I was about to go to the store and buy some eggs.
The math's gonna get me out.
If you're ripping fast, it'd be absolutely diabolical with 10 eggs in your system.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a shocker. So it's not even close.
It's only like 7 or 8.
Debunked. That's a myth.
I probably have 4 eggs a day.
That's still a good amount.
That's a pretty reasonable amount. Okay,
yeah. That's a healthy amount. I think
I would say so.
10 is you could probably argue an unhealthy amount of eggs.
What's the collective noun for that?
What?
For 10 eggs? Yeah, like a constipation of 10 eggs or something.
Yeah, I think once you reach 10, surely.
Yeah, probably. Do you want me to start the questions?
Yeah, bang them out.
All right. Well, fellas, would you rather live in Tanaland or Beamish Farms?
Tanaland.
Tanaland.
Actually, Beamish Farms does sound pretty good, though.
Here's the guy leaving Tanaland.
You also left Beamish Farms, bro. You can't use that on him.
Hey, he's leaving to go to Australia. That makes sense.
He's going to Melbourne with Stewie McSwain.
I'm not in Boulder.
Yeah. Or not in NAU. Next question. Hawke's Bay or Bay of Plenty?
Bay of Plenty?
What kind of question is that?
Yeah. I'm reading out.
Can you guys explain that question to anyone who's not from New Zealand and doesn't understand?
It's like saying Gold Coast or Canberra.
No, it's fucking... That's diabolical. That is...
Now, can you please give...
I cannot believe you just used that comparison.
Can you give an American version of it now as well for the American fans? That was a good one. Now I understand for as an Australian, but for the Americans.
It's unbelievable.
An American version.
It's like California versus like Kansas, perhaps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With
California, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's probably what people don't understand.
This is terrible. Terrible.
Just for everyone to confirm, Hawke's Bay is the bad one. That's what, just to let the Americans.
And anyone who didn't pick up, George is from
Hawke's Bay. George is from Oakland, Oklahoma.
All right. It wouldn't be called a bay if that was the case.
Mate, have you seen what Americans call bays?
Maybe it's more like the Gulf of whatever you choose.
Yeah, the Gulf of wherever it is.
In
California,
Texas?
Florida. Maybe. They're Florida.
Yeah, I was wondering who was Florida.
They're Florida. There are only two regions in New Zealand named after a bay. One is Hawke's Bay and one is the Bay of Plenty.
Head to head.
So, and they're both pretty good.
And they call it the Battle of the Bays when they play in sport.
They play in sports.
When they race in the 1500.
Yeah, when they race in the 15.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to call it. That's what it's going to be called at Comm Games.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Hawke's Bay is obviously better.
All right, next question. Go to post-session snack or cheat meal?
Oh.
I probably eat 5 cheat meals a day.
Man after my own heart.
You sound like Ollie.
Yeah.
Before hopping on this podcast, I think I ate 14 Oreos.
and a whole box of Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
And you have a pizza waiting for you.
We have a pizza waiting for us.
That's fantastic. As soon as I started cleaning up my diet, I got worse as a runner. So keep it up. What about you, Sam? I've stayed with Sam. He doesn't do cheat meals. He's a healthy eater.
You are a healthy eater. I feel like on social media, I always see you promoting some sort of healthy shit.
I have a good wife, a very good wife, and I like fishing. So we have good
good fish,
good meals.
That's your cheat meal, is cooking your own fish.
Yeah,
you're a dad now, though. You're a dad. You're gonna be you're cooking for your wife as well, I'm sure, because you're a dad. So
yeah,
and you know, looking after the fam,
looking after two.
Can we get more Dean the Life videos as well? I think little Sam, I watched you did like a race day video, day in the life. Maybe you posted on Instagram, I'm guessing, and it was so refreshing because it just was the most chill thing ever. And then you went and like ran some crazy time at the end, and I was like, oh, you don't need to worry about anything, Morgan, it's all good. So I need more of those in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
That was so triggering for me because just real was made in the spa while he was on his phone scrolling whatever, and he did it in what did you do in like 20 minutes?
Like five.
5 minutes. And I spent a week making a week in the life video with Ryobi, and he got like 100,000 views. Mine got like 10. And I was like, oh, this sucks.
You're going to give up on that career. Next question. Tanner, our followers and friends want to know, do you have a bunch of 16-year-old friends now?
Yeah.
Are you kind of like...
Actually, Sammy's the youngest, I'm the oldest, and there's a bunch of 18-year-olds in the middle.
Yeah, I was just thinking, the reason why you're difference. Probably with all the interviews is because, like, legally, you probably need, like, an adult to be around just to, like, supervise and protect for safe sport violations.
Yeah, are you little Sam's legal guardian?
And driver, yeah.
Yeah.
I can drive.
This is like the New Zealand version of, like, Batman and Alfred.
Do you have a do you have your driver's license?
Yeah, I got it.
Full?
I got it in May once I got back from the US.
And, what?
And like, now I've got my.
Your learners.
I've got my restricted.
Oh, restricted. Yeah, you got your P. Got well, you guys don't call them P plates. What do you call them? It's,
I think restricted. Well, the equivalent.
Restricted, yeah.
Yeah, the same. Yeah.
You don't have to have plates, though, once you get there.
Yeah, we have to in Australia. That's how you know who are the bad drivers.
Or just of a certain age.
Of just a certain age. Yeah. Depending on age. Do you boys both think that, this looks like it's a question from George, but do you think that New Zealand barefoot track and field culture is the reason why you guys are so successful?
Oh, I rate that.
What, barefoot?
Yeah.
Like what, barefoot shoes and barefoot running?
Well, just like no shoes and running on grass.
Just like running in barefoot.
I think the real thing.
Yeah.
Nah.
Just walking around barefoot.
Nah. That's a good thought, but I don't know if that's the secret.
Mm.
It definitely makes us tough, and also probably means that we don't feel like overprivileged and have entitlement to like certain things. So we just, when we get given a hand, we just do it and work with it. Which I think is probably a massive strength for Kiwis, whether that might look like travel when you're older or, you know, just running across country and bare feet in the middle of winter because you don't have any spikes, then makes you tough.
Definitely. I think in the kind of similar vein, I do think down under, like the amount of like kind of grass that we have to run on, I think as being younger especially, I think that's potentially a benefit to just make you stronger.
100%.
To just be able to like run on grass rather than in a lot of other parts of the world, you have to run on a track or on concrete a lot, I would say. That's not as optimal.
Grass running in for 2026.
In for eternity.
Yeah, in forever.
We received copious amounts of questions about how does it feel to be faster than the Aussies? So, for you fellas, feels pretty good?
Are we?
No, you're not. You're not faster, but I guess currently in terms of the recent years you have been.
That's good. That's good chat, actually. How does that make you feel, Ollie?
Again, another question from George, I think.
How does that make me feel? I'm getting into my age where I have to pick the right time to run fast. So if it's at the end of the year, then
that was hopefully better than at the start of the year. Because then I can say that I've run quicker. But yeah, no, it's actually maybe Oceanas will actually be good at some point, except I think this year it's in Darwin. So I don't think anybody's going to that to run fast. But hopefully we do get
Oceanas
some good.
Might not be a junior meet.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we do get some good New Zealand versus mile matchups. Already announced Cam and Sam for Bowman Mile. As of last week.
Murray Plant?
No, Pre.
Really?
Yeah. They usually announce all
the
Nike athletes. The Nike athletes are usually already announced.
Just Cole's doing it.
Cole, Sam.
Is Cole doing the 2 mile or the mile?
Mile.
Okay.
So there's
that's
one.
Six.
Yeah.
Are you guys, either of you guys going over for Murray Plant potentially?
Nah, my season's finishing.
He's got to go to school.
Nationals.
Forget about that.
Don't pretend like you're going back to school. Okay, no, you should.
I'll get him to send you a video of him at school later. A day in the life. Actually, it'd be a good day in the life.
Oh, that would be a good day in the life of a year 12 student.
Year 10.
I'm in a boys' college. I made a day in the life, but I just haven't posted it because by the time I finish editing it, I've been out of school for like a month.
I'm getting another one.
Yeah. This is probably a question more directed at Big Sam. Favorite cartoon childhood TV show that you're watching these days?
Well, for one of them, they have to look back in time. For a little
one
Sam,
of them,
it's
in the present.
Like,
yeah,
right now.
He just turns the TV on.
Yeah.
What have you guys been watching when you've been traveling? You guys been watching anything good while you've been doing the trip?
We've been watching a lot of Beta Squad.
The hell is
that's
that?
Funny. That's some good UK
quality,
YouTube.
It is good UK YouTube. And figure skating?
I don't know what that is.
No. Winter Olympics, bro.
Oh, curling? Curling's been a good
curling's been good. All right, can I ask with the Kiwis here, why are you guys not very good at Winter Olympic stuff? Like, Australia's doing pretty well. And
New Zealand's pretty
good. What are you talking about? Well, we're a lot better than you at the moment. I thought you guys would be way better than us.
I think
us.
That both of our countries are pretty not good relative to the rest of the
no,
world.
No, we're pretty good. I think our countries are pretty good relative to, like, access to snow as well as just being a small country.
Yeah,
like, I was thinking for Australia there. We have some of the best.
Should we check the medal table real quick? Yeah, you do, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
I have to call you out.
How many gold medals has New Zealand won?
I don't know. Do we have
gold?
One or two?
Zero. We have like three silver. Although, there you go. We've won three gold
this Winter Olympics.
Three gold, and then we got three or four silver and a couple of bronze.
Name
those three events. Mogul?
I just said that. So
yeah,
Mogul.
I think we had the snowboard one. She just got it at the line. Fuck, what's it called? You go down the hill.
Like the snowboard across?
Maybe that's what
slalom.
It is. Could
Board
be that.
Cross,
then, I mean, Scotty should have won, but he didn't win. He got silver. And then I think we got another silver in the moguls or something else.
Dude, there's a lot of different Winter
Olympics.
We got
like the best. It's the best medal haul in Australian history at Winter Olympics. And we got another one after that. So that's why I was like, where's New Zealand? I thought New Zealand was really good.
It took the best medal haul in Australian history to win... Three more
Look
medals.
How offended he
to,
is, boys.
To
Look
win,
how offended
to win,
he is.
To win
he is
three
so
more medals
offended.
Than New Zealand. You have three more medals than us, and it took you.
Yeah, but what color are they?
Yeah, but we have the cool events. Zoe got medals in the tricks on snowboarding. You know, much more swagger.
We have a snowboarding. We have. What about the half pipe, dude? Scotty James got a silver in the half pipe. That's a super cool event.
Yeah, but we only have medals in the Steezy events.
Steezy.
What the hell does that mean? It's season. Not moguls.
Okay, that guy in the moguls was sick.
Yeah,
I think
you guys are just a little. I think there's a bit of peanut butter and jelly over there. But you
I
know,
didn't. I think
right.
You didn't realize Ollie that today we're actually outnumbered.
This you are.
Yeah. No. Well, not by, only by like half. Like I count from age wise. About so it's like two and a half.
Moguls
kind of
sick. Aerials, no stees whatsoever.
Yeah, I was watching that today. I was like,
did we win a medal in the aerials?
I didn't.
A silver.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't even know what fuck this is.
No, I just know the medal tally, and we're way ahead of you guys. So That's tough.
Way ahead.
Way ahead.
Well, do you have any gold medals?
They're way ahead in 13th place.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, dude. I'm sorry. You guys have no gold medals.
How many countries have a gold medal? Probably about 20.
Okay, but...
Do you guys even have a ski field in Australia?
Yeah, have you heard of a lovely place called Thredbo?
Brother, we got ski fields.
Okay, but don't say that because that actually makes it more impressive that they're winning.
Yeah, we don't even fucking have ski fields, bro.
I do like that Australia's like has the most medals based on ratio of like snow.
availability.
Actually, Ollie, you know what? They probably are.
That's kind of a cook stat, though.
They're probably just Kiwis who couldn't make the Kiwi team to make the Aussie team.
That makes no sense, Tanner, because if they're winning medals at the Olympic Games, they would definitely make the New Zealand team, bro. Your logic's a bit flawed there.
I'm following
but I appreciate it. Maybe we just poached them. It's the same with the rugby, like the All Blacks. Like the Wallabies team is all second grade All Blacks that couldn't make the All Black team. So they're just a Wallaby team. Like you hear them interview and they just go, yeah, so we didn't play well against the All Blacks, but we'll get them next time.
I was going to say, a lot of the Australians that do well in the Winter Olympics don't have Australian accents.
No, well, I don't think even Scotty lives in, like, it just lives at ski fields. Well, they all live at ski fields.
He's married probably to
Canada.
A billionaire.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has unlimited funding as well. Like, you probably have to have really good funding to be in the Winter Olympics.
Lives a double life.
But, yeah, no, I just wanted to rub that into George.
Yeah.
How did we get into that?
Winter Olympics, baby. They've been watching a lot of curling and figure skating.
Because they've been talking about their TV shows, their cartoon TV
shows.
Which
that is my only gripe with the Winter Olympics. Well, it's not really a grab, I guess. But you do end up getting, if you have it on every day, which Cinta and I do, you get a bit sick of curling and figure skating.
Curling has been on since day one.
It's on every
day. It's still going. People love it, though. My brothers love him watching it. He loves the Canadians-Sweden controversy.
The
cheating.
Multiple cheating scandals at these Olympics.
It's really funny because Jason Ross, our treatment guy, has been sending a lot of memes about it because he thinks it's hilarious. And any of the falls or collisions or clashes, they've put this meme in with the guy like with his little finger pressing them and then they fall over. It's very funny.
Have you seen the meme where it's like the Adam, like from the some... like Adam and Eve, like the thing where he's like,
oh yeah, yeah, they've got him doing that. The best one is him. Like there was like a North Korean speed skater, and another one like grabbed the bottom of it, grabbed off someone's ski, and they went down. Anyway, they like zoom in closely, and then they change it to the Canadian guy just touching the back of the ski. It's so funny. Oh,
that's good.
But yeah, well, that's good. You guys have been keeping entertained over here.
Because you're 16. Sorry, like I love every time I get to speak to someone that's under 18. I just ask them, like, are you like super into TikTok or Instagram?
I'm probably too into TikTok. I always have to end up deleting it. So I'm probably more into Instagram at the moment.
Do you like Subway Surfer?
Nah.
What's Subway Surfer?
It's like an algorithm thing that people put on videos so they can pay attention. Like a lot of the young people do it now.
He said that's old. That's for old people. That's not for my generation.
Nah, I'm more into like Clash Royale and more strategic
games.
I like strategy games.
Yeah, you like strategy.
Oh, I can't even imagine what it's like to be 16 in this day and age. Do you play other video games? Like not on the phone?
Nah, not really, to be honest.
Kiwis don't play video games.
Don't have Wi-Fi.
You guys don't have internet service in New Zealand, so it makes sense. You guys are just out there at farms looking at sheep. Or just adjoining the best bay. What's it called? Bay of Plenty.
The Battle of the Bay.
The Battle of the Bay, yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Anything else from the Discord?
Or no, that was all Mr. Wang put down.
That was all that we had.
Yeah. Unless you have any extra questions, George. I mean, these are your countrymen and you always complain about being around us. So, you know, we want to give you.
Do I?
I'll ask them a real New Zealander question. You guys like Marmite or Vegemite?
Don't ask me that question. You don't want to know the answer.
It's definitely Marmite, isn't it? I don't
know the answer.
I enjoy Marmite.
Yeah, that's good.
Lame.
Marmite's good.
Good answer. I saw Gagat just got a Vegemite sponsorship.
Dude, it was pretty sick.
That's actually pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick. We should get a Marmite sponsor.
Do you guys have Milo in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Milo goes.
What about Whittaker's? Do you like Whittaker's chocolate?
Did we create Milo?
Probably not.
I don't know. Did we? It's Whittaker's. Whittaker's is New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whittaker's definitely ours.
You guys like that. No, well, you guys try and steal the flat white and Pavlova, but we own that.
These two definitely don't drink coffee.
They don't need it.
You don't drink coffee. Well, at 16, you probably already have.
Espresso shot the other day. That's how much coffee I've started to get.
The other day, and are you still feeling it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would not like to be around you if you had a Red Bull. You'd be an absolute lunatic, bro. My God, bouncing off the walls. Actually, that's probably how you run 3:39 in the mile, Tanner. You just take a Red Bull, and you see, you're literally just vibrating on the line, like shaking. So just get this guy going.
You know, actually, the first time I took caffeine was before one of the Diamond Leagues. And I was like, I mistimed it terribly and I was sitting shaking my freaking brains out. That wasn't
how'd the race go?
Yeah, good.
It was worth it. Yeah, good. Real good.
It was worth it. One thing that I love about you, Tanner, among the many, is how much you like to enjoy, like how much I can just tell you enjoy racing and how much you do race. I think last year you raced, do you know how many times you raced last year? Do you have that stat?
Nah.
I think it was,
but I was talking to Ben the other day or this morning about what races I did, and I started to forget which ones I did because I did so many.
Is that your favorite thing about the sport? Are you just love the thrill of racing and competing?
Yeah. That was always, I mean, as I've got older, I've actually enjoyed training a lot more. But I used to hate training and all I wanted to do was race. But yeah, I've really enjoyed the job of running as well as actually just training and racing. But being a pro has made me definitely enjoy training a lot more, but racing's still why we do it.
Yeah. Love it. Little Sam, are you similar? Do you enjoy training? Do you nerd out at all? Or are you like, nah, I'll just do what coach says and then I'll go race?
Nah, I really enjoy training. I would nerd out more, but my coach who's standing right there doesn't even really want me doing like lactic testing or anything like that. So not too science based, more just going off feel.
You don't need it. Vibes. You don't not need it. Vibes is all you need right now.
All about vibes.
Yeah. Coaching off vibes. It's going pretty well. Yeah. All that lactate crap will come later. Trust me, you don't need it.
Yeah. You're doing just fine.
Yeah, you are. And if you don't measure it, then it's perfect. Yeah, then it's always 1.0 if you don't measure it. If you just tell yourself mentally,
it can't,
it's 1.0.
It can't be wrong if you don't measure it.
If you run 3:48, then it doesn't matter what it says. It didn't matter anyway. So it's all good. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on. We know we mentioned a couple of times, but obviously you guys have been so busy just with, I mean, you guys are on this trip and you guys just traveled to Boston and then obviously all the other media and stuff. So we really do appreciate you guys making the time and joining us, because we've really enjoyed kind of following along both of your journeys and just seeing you guys absolutely crushing it. It really makes us happy. So yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yep. Shot team.
See you, boys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheer.
Good luck in Boston. Well, guys, hope you all enjoyed that interview as much as we enjoyed it. A couple of awesome lads out there absolutely crushing it. We just want to give a little preview. We're going to be out in LA for the marathon. So just to put it on your calendar, for anyone that is going to be out there racing, look ahead. We'll be doing some really cool stuff with On out there that we're very excited to. But yeah, that's it from us. It's been episode 218 of the Coffee Cup Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. See you.